link to your piece, South's Political Clout Rising Under Trump. That does it for our show. We'll be covering the story of hog farming and liquid hog manure being sprayed on largely African-American communities later on our journey. This does it for our show. As we continue our tour around the country, I'll be speaking in Miami tonight, 6:30 at the Coral Gables Congregational Church. Then on Wednesday, I'm on to Tampa at 7:30 p.m. at the Seminole Heights United Methodist Church. Thursday, it's Atlanta, 7 p.m. at the First Iconium Baptist Church. And on Friday at 2 at Colton College in Minnesota, at 6:30 at Augsburg College in Minneapolis. On Saturday, we're on to Madison, Wisconsin in the afternoon, then Chicago in the evening. Sunday, I'm speaking in Michigan, Kalamazoo at 11, Lansing at 2, and Grand Rapids at 5:30. Monday night, I'll be speaking at Philadelphia at the Philly Free Library. Check our website for details. This is Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Burke, Dina Gezder, Nirmiche, Carla Wisler, Augustino, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Dennis Moynihan. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 8 a.m. And coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
Hey, Jenna here from the show Pacific Underground, the radio show that explores the Asian and Pacific Islander experience in America. We're looking for producers and writers to join our team. So we're inviting those who identify as Asian or Pacific Islander to attend a Pacific Underground information meeting on Wednesday, April 26th at 7 p.m. at KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue at Burnside. More information can be found at www.pacificunderground.org or on our Facebook at PAC Underground.
Dear KBOO listeners, donate before our next membership drive starts and enter our sweepstakes. Grand prize is two benefactor passes to the 30th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, June 30th to July 4th. This four-day pass guarantees early entry, seating close to the front of the main stage, shade, food and drink coupons, and much more. First prize is gift certificates to Brighton Bush, offering overnight accommodations, hydrotherapy, hot springs, and more at the Brighton Bush Hot Springs in Detroit, Oregon. Second prize is a Portland Center Stage Flex Pass and dinner at Kale. To learn more about our sweepstakes, go to kboo.fm/2017 Spring Sweepstakes.
I'm glad they weren't off for that.
It's coming through.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, I got a lot. I got a lot to say.
First. Okay. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program.
Oh, yes, it is.
This is KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial, KBOO.FM on the internet tubes. Yesterday was pretty damn exciting.
It was. Yeah. It's kind of depressing, too.
It was the annual May Day March.
Yeah, which I have kind of religiously gone to whenever I've been in Portland since 99, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was directly there. I saw everything that I could possibly see as one individual, and I was very depressed.
Okay, and I hope we're going to hear why.
You will.
Okay. What I want to, I was not there. Let me say that right out
loud. Well, you work for a living, unlike me.
I do work for a living, but I've managed to make it to several of these over the years.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed I couldn't come yesterday. So I wasn't there. I didn't see what happened. But I want to hear from people who were there.
Yes.
I want you to call in and tell us what you saw, what you heard, and what everything you observed. And from that, maybe we'll get an accurate picture of what went down.
I think so. And also, if you find what I say absolutely disgusting or wrong or misinterpretation, let us know. Because I have come away with a solid position that I hope is wrong.
I predict that our listeners will not hesitate to tell you you're disgusting and wrong, Joe.
Yeah, it makes it all so worthwhile.
I think they're not going to hold off.
Okay.
All right. Tell us what you saw yesterday.
Well, I went down there with a good friend. He's, as a matter of fact, he's in the film industry. Woo! Very impressive. And we we hung out, and he actually got tired of the many, many speeches. And then one of the biggest problems, just in terms of demonstrations, is if you are told the thing starts at X time, it'll actually start at Y time, and all of the time prior to that will be taken up sometimes with wonderful music or dancing or something. Some of that was there yesterday, some Mexican folk dancing, really neat. But it also is a requirement now, and I think it's a reasonable requirement, so that makes it very ironic, that everything be bilingual. So if I make a five-minute speech in English, I have to make equivalent in Spanish. Hmm. It used to be there was simultaneous translations, but now it seems that it's more equitable, and I don't dispute that. But it takes up enormous amounts of time.
More equitable, less time efficient.
Yeah, all right. Absolutely. But that's just an aside. In the course of waiting around, I encountered the various groups that wear uniforms. We now have uniforms in our marches of the left, which I sort of recognized from way back. The first time I saw not uniforms, but police rioting, by the way, was in 99 at the May Day March, which combined the ILWU, which had organized not just the shore, but it had its international convention here in Portland at the Hilton, mm-hmm. and was struggling to get a new contract for the workers at Powell's. And I had been asked by the Oregonian to write about all this mm-hmm. as an op-ed, big, long op-ed. And my expectations were pretty, you know, their idea was, oh, it's just a family feud, and the Powells are good people, and the union's good people, and they should all settle it. Well, it very quickly, the PR guy for Powell's called me, you know, it was all set up, and I was going to kind of walk through it. But that all fell away immediately on May Day of 99, where I saw the police attack a unpermitted but allowed, whatever the heck that means, in the street march. It was a big march. It was before there were large numbers of Latinos in the marches. So you had your pagans with their maypole and stuff like that. And you had your various representatives of unions and so on. And it all looked fine. At the end of that, though, as we got to closer to the waterfront, things suddenly changed. Suddenly, the horse patrol, a policewoman pulled up, and exchanged their cowboy hats for helmets. And I noted that, you know, and I'm with the Oregonian and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Suddenly, we were all herded to the waterfront with our back to the river, surrounded on three sides by police, who, when people began to object to that, began to shoot people with these beanbags out of shotguns, which are a pretty bruising thing, you know, and not recalled for. There was nobody at that point fighting the police, but wanting to break out of there. Well, and I'm in a suit, you know, I'm representing the Oregonian, and I suddenly realize I'm in danger. This is a very bad situation tactically. Your back's to the water, and the police are attacking you. So I worked my way out of that, and up to the what was then a bar. And at the I think it's now the headquarters of the Rose Festival, and said I came to the door of the place, and there was a guy there, I think a bouncer, and said, "No, you can't come in here." And I said, "I'm with the Oregonian. I need a drink." Changed his opinion of me, so they let me in, and I bought some vodka, and went on my way. And I don't want to finish all that story, but the point was that was the first time that I absolutely was certain that the police had been misinformed. They believed that windows had been shattered and all this. Nothing like that had happened. In fact, it was an unwarranted police intrusion into a legitimate event. And it was really clear that the police had been misinformed. And it was, as a result, I actually ended up talking to the mayor, who I then knew her from other things, and explained why I was concerned and wondered about who she'd hired for police chief and so on. Well, a lot of reasons, but the point was that she had put her trust in an L.A. Shoe fly, an L.A. cop whose job had been principally to catch other cops doing naughty. And he was our new police chief.
Okay, so okay. You've
this That's is just setting that up.
This is all to establish you've witnessed the police misbehaving.
Yes, Portland. I came away. Right. You know, okay, this is not good. This is bad. I understand how this happened. I understand the historical factors involved, but it was really clear. Since then, the growth of the Black Bloc movement internationally has become more and more significant. The Black Bloc is, I guess, since they won't talk to you if you're a press person, and I'm not sure they'll talk to anybody except them, is an organizational body that it covers itself in black, hides its face with masks, and seems to do mischief as its main way of striking a revolutionary pose.
Okay. Let's bring it around to yesterday.
So yesterday, I was out there talking to various groups. I ran into the ILWU people who wear black and red. Mm-hmm. In their disguises, and are actually quite affable and are trying to get more members. The Black Bloc itself, the people I ran into, and I don't think it has a membership list, but, you know, maybe it does. But all of them, all wrapped in black and their masks and so on, began to really annoy me. The whole idea of disguise suddenly took on a sinister quality, which I hadn't felt previously. So I asked these guys what they were up to, and they said one guy said he was there to fight the police. And I said, well, you can't fight the police. You can't win a fight with the police. They have guns. Do you have guns? And he suddenly got very angry. And he did something which was so revealing of their overall, at least his overall politics, that I was shocked. One of the things we have always said about our ideas as liberals and or leftists is that we try to avoid, and in fact, don't do sexism, we don't do racism, we don't do attacks on persons from other countries, we don't do attacks on people who are disabled or other-abled, we don't distinguish people by age, right? Mm-hmm. All this is important to us to make an egalitarian society. He suddenly turned to me and said, listen, old man, which I am, listen, old man, and he was really, you know, he mm-hmm. looked like he might choose me out. I was kind of surprised. And from then on, I was interested in them. I paid attention more than I usually do. And what I saw was very disturbing. I had seen in an earlier iteration the Black Bloc take control of the crowd by moving to the front of it and creating a sit-down event that I thought was unwarranted. Now, remember, this is a May Day march. It contains various tendencies, not just left. Mm-hmm. There's pagans and things. And there's lots of families. Children, lots of people with disabilities, all kinds of people. And these people, at a point, and they're followed, I should make this clear, by the police in the most fascist formation they can imagine. They're all on running boards, on big SUVs, mm-hmm. all in armor, absolute armor. It would be the same as having a steel armor in the Middle Ages, but it's plastic. And they're formidable, and they're scary. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Suddenly, I observed an individual in the Black Bloc group throw a thing of liquid, I don't know what the liquid was, that hit the ground near the police. And I saw other objects being thrown.
According to the reports I've read, the things that were thrown included cans of Pepsi, symbolic of that horrible Pepsi advertisement that was created last month. I don't know
really?
If you saw that one.
I haven't seen it.
And there were also allegations of Molotov cocktails.
Well, they were. I don't think they were.
As far as I know, are unsubstantiated.
I think they were not Molotov cocktails because I know Molotov cocktails, and these were not Molotov cocktails.
All right, I tell you what. We've got a caller who's been hanging in now for several minutes. Let's hear from her, and then we'll get back to your report.
Absolutely.
All right. Edie, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to tell you what I observed, but I also wanted to focus on what we can do about it and having a united demand for justice, truth, and reconciliation, especially for having the police, having us know the names and the job titles of our public servants who made what decisions for those police to even be paid more money and recruited from whatever jurisdictions or mercenary groups. To be allowed to wear those kind of clothes and be so provocative and to hide their ID so that they would be avoiding accountability and then to provoke and terrorize folks. I want them to reimburse all of us taxpayers and foundations and individual donors that have been spending a lot of money and investing a lot of time and care and making Portland a livable democracy. Our people are not moving to Portland. They are not supporting our public schools or our libraries. They don't shop in downtown Portland. They don't visit downtown Portland because they're afraid of those fascist police. That is taking away folks' jobs, their businesses, their investments in our public structure, as well as our sense of community and hope. And it's detracting from us having the very individuals we're going to most need between our major earthquakes and methane blown up blocks and blocks under fire from the natural gas, that we're going to need to have good citizens who band together with the mentality of those with the beautiful three Black Widow floats on the shopping carts to show the values of anarchy, of mutual aid, of solidarity with those who are in oppressed societies, and understanding and supporting them at the human level, and direct problem solving. Those kind of values are what we need, and not be under attack. So I'm wanting us to unite in a shared letter demanding truth and reconciliation and justice. But I can also share some of the things that I witnessed and some of the things that I find that are very inspiring and that need to be celebrated.
Okay, I think you're making some very good points. And I agree essentially with what you're saying overall. Let me be clear on that, because what I'm going to continue doing here is kind of ranting about what I saw, which is pretty critical of a lot of elements in what happened yesterday. But I do agree with you overall. Those are all remedies that are real and potentially doable. I don't like it when police are brought in from far away who have no stake in the region, from other counties, for example, which I saw, and who are essentially armored and you cannot see them. They are designed to be anonymous.
They're provoking and terrorizing. They're endangering people's lives. They're violating the laws and our rights, and they're not fulfilling the oath to protect our rights and responsibilities under the Constitution.
I agree.
So what I want to also celebrate is here we had Giggles Giraffe have a family and child center. They had arts and crafts supplies. They had bubbles. They had food. They had resting area. They had ways for people to write on these little magnet signs on this beautiful sculpture of a giraffe from Marshall Rosenberg's Nonviolent or Compassionate Communication. A giraffe has a bigger heart of land, and we need to have a bigger heart.
Okay.
It has a big view. It has a tongue that can eat. There's acacia tree thorns and poisons and not be harmed and create nutrition, can see over the big savanna and protect everyone else, and it's nonviolent. So they were supporting all these beautiful values. Having little children,
yeah,
and the sparkle, the glitter brigade of people with disabilities, the Portland Major and Grannies, elderly. They had environmental groups saying, you know,
All of that is true.
All these years,
all of that is
and
true.
Picking up all the litter, everything all clean and nice and kind, and then the police are terrorizing folks, and they come back to Szymanski Park. After they've separated one at 3rd and Madison. And these are over and over. I've been doing this since 1982. I see police infiltrators, saboteurs, pretending to be protesters doing something that is never an excuse for the police action, even if it had been a protester. It's never an excuse for the police action. The police come up, the loudspeaker, yelling at the people in the back. So the people up front who are slow, unable to move, don't have possibilities, the police took away their wagon and their vehicle to help those who couldn't finish.
Yeah, I'm gonna. You're absolutely right in everything you've
and
said.
They called it.
Well, wait a minute.
Riot when there was no one rioting but police.
No, I'm going to. I agree with everything you said. You're on a different track than I am, and I'm going to assert my control here, because what I want to say is very, very important and has to be met as a challenge to all of us who really care to make a serious presentation of an alternative to the current fascist regime, not just nationally or internationally, but locally. And I'm really concerned. I agree that the police are fundamentally a totalitarian institution in the society, who have been encouraged to become armored and anonymous and not necessarily responsible. But I also, like yourself, walked in this march in various locations, stayed with it for a long, long time, broke away when I felt physically endangered. But the thing is, and this is really important, my encounters with the Black Bloc throughout the entire event were not just hostile. They were creepy, actually creepy. And when I saw what was happening with that, with a minority of people in that Black Bloc, what I saw was a kind of, if I were doing sabotage to destroy the march, I would do exactly what they did, which is to create provocations. It was as if they were agent provocateur, which legitimizes the police shutting down the event, which they had already threatened to do if there was anything like that.
I agree. I think the Black Bloc ruins it for everybody. Because as soon as violence breaks out, as soon as the march is shut down, that's all anybody talks about. And everybody who was there peacefully gets painted with the same broad brush.
Well, it also makes, if I'm a parent with children, I am not going to bring them to an event where they're actually endangered.
Agreed.
And they're endangered not just by the police, but unfortunately by the behavior of the provocateurs of the Black Bloc, who I don't know what their politics is. They won't tell us. I don't know where they're coming from. They won't tell us. I know they're all over the world. I know they're identified as part of the left. I don't see how they are anything but juvenile and dangerous.
I would agree.
But I want to finish, because it's really important. It's really important to understand that these people began the provocations that the police had already announced would result in the shutting down of the march. They did that, and they did it not necessarily, but they did it as they said they would, and it began to become a melee. And I felt, and I still feel, that this politics of Black Bloc with its anonymity is not unlike the policy of the police with their anonymity. Hiding, and this is the first time I felt this way so strongly, hiding things, hiding self, denying communication. All of that is absolutely counter to the goal, the main goal, which is to influence people to support policies that are peaceful and good. And that is absolutely intolerable, and I don't understand it. And I would invite any Black Blocker who wants to explain their politics to call us now or later or some other time and explain it, because what I saw was really clearly, and this is not a majority of the Black Bloc people, let's be clear, but a significant minority, really clearly stupid, just stupid. You go to a large store, and you break the big window, and you throw, now get this, because it's just tactically stupid, you throw a flare onto the concrete floor of the store after you've broken the window. What, you're now committing arson, to what end? I mean, it's just stupid. And the lack of intelligence, the lack of tactical smarts, the lack of eagerness to make the event an event that includes and persuades drives me absolutely nuts. And I never have felt this betrayed by an alleged group of allies. It was really ugly and it was really stupid. And I can tell you stories about people I know in Germany and other places who've left their own Black Blocs, realizing that the costume, the disguise, creates a mass psychology in which you commit essentially aggressive acts against the community and do not push your agenda at all.
Agreed.
So I just, I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of more time in this, but it is important. It is also a case that it gives an opportunity to the very stupid, intellectually stupid people who were the TV journalists in this town to make their incredibly stupid generalized statements. Oh, it's also off. Look, this march isn't just about the people in the march. The march is about persuasion. And anything that hurts the persuasive message of peace and justice and anti-Trump and so on is antithetical to the left. And it should not be just happening and not commented on. So I'm going to stick my neck out and I'm going to comment on it. When I got in an argument with one of these people, his big attack on me was, hey, listen, old man, this is crucial. Yeah, okay, calling people old is, but it isn't cool. It is absolutely ageist and it is absolutely stupid. It would be the same thing to say some kid who's 15, listen, kid, you know, it's not right. And the fact that people don't have the intellectual recognition of this sort of thing really disturbs me. Really disturbs me. And I don't like disguises, but I tolerate it because I think of it as kind of a, you know, a pro forma theater. But now it's not theater. When you actually throw stuff, and I saw stuff thrown, so it can't be denied. And it wasn't the majority, but it was a people who were there in the Black Bloc who seemed to be supported by their colleagues in the Black Bloc.
You know, I think, speaking about the Black Bloc now, despite their willingness to engage in physical violence with the police, and let's call it what it is. It is a willingness, yay, even a desire to engage in physical violence with the police.
I would say eagerness.
Eagerness, yeah. And I'm going to read us something here in a second that I think reinforces this position. Despite their willingness to engage in violence with the police, you know, I think they're cowardly. Show your faces. If that's how you feel, if you're willing to throw your body on the gears of the machine like that, show your face. And while we're talking about throwing your body into the gears of the machine, there's much smarter, much more effective ways to do that than getting in a fight with the police at a rally. So here's what I have to say to the Black Bloc. If that's what's on your mind, if you want to fight with the police, do it on your own time. Don't do it at the same time as a big march full of families, full of laborers, full of peaceful demonstrators out there. Because here's what we need to remember on the left, everybody. And if you forget everything else that's said today, remember this. Our struggle has to be a nonviolent struggle. There is no excuse for turning to violence. We have to be peaceful. We have to be nonviolent. That is the only way our message gets through. That is the only way we're able to exert pressure.
Well, and beyond that, just tactically, we ain't got the power.
No.
And that's why Martin Luther King, for goodness sake, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the SNCC, all of these things, which I grew up in the tradition of, absolutely made clear that when we don't have... And we didn't. The power, we must take the power of morality and righteousness. And it worked. It worked to a large extent. I think that what has happened is there is a symbiotic ritual of hate going on with the police versus the Black Bloc that is being used and spread to make it very difficult to do things that influence positively other people. And then on top of that, you got a local media that is stupid.
Yeah, I think ritualized is a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
Because you've got a police force that is looking for any excuse to stop the march. And a group of violent protesters who are looking to mix it up with the police.
Well, and
so
I think
you put the two together, then you have an end to your peaceful demonstration.
Right. And I think it's a crowd mind. The police definitely have a crowd mind and a crowd culture. And now we've got a Black Bloc that is just... kind of the other side of the same kind of anonymous cowardice that we see in the police. And I think it is cowardice, really. When you arm yourself and disguise yourself and are ready to hurt people, that is cowardice. And when you see that happening without the armament by the Black Bloc and justifying it by not communicating with anybody... by hiding your face, and I never said this before because I understood the argument that some people need to hide their face, but this is beyond that. This is a ritual of aggression, and it doesn't work to create a new movement in America.
Yeah, and he ruins it for everybody.
And it really made it, if I had my grandson with me and I wanted to show him how politics works, this is how democracy works, right?
I wouldn't take him to that march.
I'm not going to take that. Oh, this is what we do. We have a stupid fight in the street.
Yeah, and we set newspaper boxes on fire.
Really?
Yeah, way to go. Way to go.
Yeah,
quite a statement made there.
And we give opportunity to the right to say, look, see how these people are? Look, they break up police cars. It doesn't communicate anything but rage, and that rage is something that is abhorrent to the majority of people.
Agreed. Okay, this is KBOO 90.7 FM. You're listening to the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. We are discussing yesterday's May Day March here in Portland. I want to go back to the phones in just a second. But before we do, I want to read something from a website called Officer Down TP. www.blogspot.com. This was posted this past Wednesday, April the 26th. And I'm going to read to you from this post. An anti-capitalist march is set to take place here on Monday, May 1st. Open to the public, all are welcome except police goons, Nazi alt-right bootlickers, and agent provocateur. Meetup is scheduled to take place at Shemansky Park at 1 p.m. This is a more radical march than the city-sanctioned permitted one, which is scheduled for noon that day. Same location. Attendees of the anti-capitalist march are encouraged to wear all black and mask up. While the Portland Police Gestapo will likely provide friendly and courteous escort service for the permitted march, much as they did for the Women's March back in January, a wholly different response is expected for the more radical one. Police abuses and excesses are guaranteed. When that happens, I will surely give a detailed report in the following days. Stay safe, lock and load, and keep up the resistance. So there is...
Lock and load.
There is a statement that a conflict with the police is guaranteed. Now, the police behavior of the police notwithstanding, the only way you can guarantee that is if you are going out there willing and eager to mix it up with the police. So there it is. That's a statement of intent by the Black Bloc that they're intending to fight with the police.
And as some kind of existential weirdness that has seized a small number of, I guess, younger people.
Yeah.
And they are not in any way progressive in their struggle, and they do not in any way communicate anything to anyone who's an ordinary person.
It's silly. It's juvenile. It's ineffective. It ruins things for the rest of us.
It's dangerous.
Do it on your own time.
It legitimizes police violence.
Agreed.
I'm just fed up with it. I just really think it's horrible.
No, it doesn't legitimize police violence.
Well,
but in the minds of many, it justifies police violence.
Okay, I will agree with your change of wording. But I want to hear from people who disagree with me. I would love to hear on the air, and you can be anonymous and you can wear your mask while you talk. I would love to hear a justification of what happened yesterday by some people who you claim, who knows who they are, to be part of the Black Bloc. Come on,
bring it on. Let's go to Gabriel. Good morning.
Hey, guys. It's good to finally get on here. You asked for callers 25 minutes ago.
Well, yeah, you know, I wanted to have my say.
I know. That's okay. Hey, thanks for letting me on. I was there yesterday. I was with my wife and my...
Can you get closer to your phone? You're fading. I don't want to miss you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
So I went to the march yesterday with my wife and my 16-month-old daughter. As I was listening to you, I was like, when I get on the air, I can't get pulled in to the same old narrative. Because I think that's what's going on here. You see, when we're marching and we're singing, we were by the Wobblies and by the some of the union folks and socialists. I mean, you know, the whole crowd was packed with all these different groups,
and they were
cool. Amazing.
And they were cool.
And the march was festive. It was fun. It was filled with little kids. And then all of a sudden, the police announce the permit is being pulled. And I said, here we go. Same old thing. Pull the permit. Let's get all the people with children. Let's get all the undocumented people, all the people on probation, anyone who can't be arrested, to get out of here. And then we'll start firing flash grenades, and everybody else will leave except for the few people who want to put up a weak defense against the police and throw a few bottles and light some fires. And then we'll put that on the 6 o'clock evening news. And once again, the protest becomes a handful of people trying to fight with the police, and the police win again.
No, you're absolutely right. I agree with everything you're saying.
Here, that's the same old narrative. And that's not the, and what I want to say to you is that you have a responsibility to provide something else, because you've spent 30 minutes on a community radio station playing into that narrative that the police set up. They're playing us like puppets, you see? And really what the narrative that we need to be talking about is what your last caller was trying to get across before you cut her off. You did give her some time before you cut her off, is that there was so much more to that march. And if we want to start being successful, we need to control the narrative. We need to talk about the little kids pulling the draft cart, which was awesome. We need to talk about how the Wobblies and the Social Democrats were marching side by side.
Yeah, see, but we can't talk about that when all of everyone is talking about is the violence. The violence obscures the message.
Everybody, it wasn't everybody talking about that. It was the 6 o'clock news.
Right. And how do people learn?
And now it's KBU.
And how do people learn about what the march was about?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. It's your show. Go ahead.
No, please continue.
Okay. I was just saying that we can talk about something different. But we're choosing not to. And so what we're doing is we're letting the police and the people who obviously were really rude and offended you by calling you an old man control that conversation. And yet you have the power right there. You own the microphones. You could change the narrative. You could talk about something different. You're choosing to talk about what the corporate media and the police and those few people that were starting fires want you to talk about. Whereas the thousands of the rest of the people who wanted to talk about how great the Aztec dances were, the amazing actions in the Bay Area, how great the march was, all the different cool things that went on that we want to talk about, you have the opportunity to talk about that and you're not. So I'm just calling to urge you to reevaluate the way you're playing into the Black Bloc and the police's actions
okay.
by dedicating your time and ours to that conversation.
Let me respond. Right. First of all, I think your criticism is valid in if this were the only time and the if this were not rather the only time where I've gotten into this situation where I'm critical of the Black Bloc. I've been very tolerant. I've been very supportive by and large over the years. I began by describing how the police created the whole culture of this violence back in 99. So it's not like I'm saying, oh, it's all the fault of the Black Bloc. But the Black Bloc is a absolute indicator of an epidemic on left and right among younger people that has been encouraged to a great extent by the alternate right. And it's very scary. And it's not thoughtful. And it doesn't communicate anything. And as you pointed out, all the good things that happened have to be subsumed. I'm functioning here as the news. And I'm saying to you, and I'm saying to everybody, this kind of behavior, I believe, should be in some manner labeled for what it is. And I can't not label it anymore. I thought it was insane. I thought it was thoughtless, and I thought it was mean. And yeah, I felt offended at being called old, but I am, and it's okay. But I thought, whoa, what sexism is this? What racism is this? What ageism is this? What's going on? And I think it's really important. And I think that what I'm arguing for in that linking all of those together is generally when people display a prejudice toward one group, they are thinking and behaving with prejudice toward others. And I've become extremely suspicious of that behavior. I was actually shocked. I thought the guy would say to me, I'm full of you know what, I don't understand what's going on, here's what we're doing. Uh-uh. There was nothing like that. There was only anger and I would say adolescent rage. So, no, I appreciate what you're saying. All of what you're saying is also true. The irony of the thing is when you got 1,000 people moving down the street, a lot of good things happen. In fact, the majority of things are good. But when something like this goes on, it gives the fascist authorities the absolute permission to behave in a fascist authoritarian way.
All right. This is the AIM Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO. If you want to give us a call, please do so. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. You can also write to us at the Facebook page, facebook.com/AIMandJoe. You can also send us a tweet at HonestAbe72. John writes to the Facebook page to say, all right, folks, if you are wearing masks and busting stuff up, you are not an anarchist. You are a punk. Anarchism is not chaotic mayhem and destruction. It is the organization of a society formed on a voluntary, cooperative basis without recourse to force or compulsion, rather than one based on a hierarchical structure. Get it straight and stop being idiots. All right, let's go back to the phones. Paul.
Well, yeah, hi, good morning. This morning. Is your fellow talk show host.
Yeah, hey, how are you?
I'm good. Hey
I want to mention, Paul, just I want to do a plug for something that you helped create, which is at the Aladdin Theater on May 26th and 27th, 7 o'clock on 26th and 2 p.m. on the 27th. We're going to have Chris Hedges, and it's going to be a great event, and I hope people will go to it, either of those two nights or both. One night, I think the 2 o'clock is, yeah, obviously, the afternoon on Saturday.
Right,
anyway,
on.
Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
I only called in because I thought people were calling in, but I guess you just weren't taking calls at that point. I don't want to take up a lot of time because I have a whole hour a week.
Go ahead. Say what you want to say.
I just want to say that I don't want to defend, criticize. That's not what I want to do. I'm sorry that, I thought it did sound kind of out of line, calling you an old man. But I think if you step back
handle it.
And look at the dynamics and think back to your own youth, clearly there is some sort of generational dynamic going on. And I think to look, I know a fair number of those people. I think I've certainly conversed with them and encountered them. I was a volunteer at the Anaris info shop. I'm not saying anybody there is involved with them. That's kind of, there's a general anarchist milieu in which the Black Bloc seems to be particularly a participant. I certainly don't want to connect the Black Bloc to Anaris. I don't think anybody there was actually involved. But I just want to say that I have moved in those circles. So I think I, to some extent, no. I just want to say that I think maybe a lot of those young people, like maybe you did at one point, just feel like they're out of time. Like they're out of time. What are we up against, with this Trump, with global warming, with capitalist endgame? I think they just feel probably frightened and they're out of time and rage. And sure, they've got adolescent hormones pumping, so the ones who are still adolescents, I still have hormones pumping myself.
Well, but I resent that. I got hormones. I'll show you hormones.
Listen,
I
think you're right, but I think everybody who was at the march feels that way to a certain extent, or they wouldn't have been there in the first place. The difference is some chose to behave violently, others did not.
Well, I just want to say that. I think there's a whole discussion. I don't think any of the so-called Black Bloc people are actually going to call and call, because I don't think they're listening. I don't think they would actually have the patience to hear the conversation. And maybe that's not good. I don't know. But I just wanted to put that in there.
No, I really Paul, first of all, I appreciate what you're saying. I want to be clear about something. I am, in fact, an anarchist. I have been for a long, long time. I was at one time in earlier ideation accused of being a communist in public, and my public response was, no, I'm an anarchist. And I really do believe in a reasonable kind of anarchy, which is nonviolent. Many reasons for the nonviolence. Ethically, it's most important. But tactically, the use of nonviolence worked in many, many situations where any other kind of approach did not work. We saw how the Black Panthers were smashed by the FBI, not fairly, but smashed. And the reason why they could be smashed was because they were labeled, and they were not. I want to be clear about this. They were not particularly violent in their political behavior. They were smashed by the authorities because they took on this dangerous quality to defend the Black community. It's a tactical question and a moral question. And we do need to separate the two. But when you make the decision to be in uniform, and uniform is what the Black Bloc wear, and you then become anonymous, you free both the libidinous and the violence in yourself, and you're suddenly not a responsible person. It's a psychological phenomenon, and it's very, very dangerous.
Listen, Paul, thank you very much for the call.
All right.
Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9, an alternative radio physicist, scholar, and feminist, Vandana Shiva, reports on eco-social justice on the global front lines. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, DMA Roberts welcomes Nandita Shenoy, apologies for pronunciation there, to discuss her play Washer Dryer. Then she talks to veteran performing artist and activist Chisao Hata, again, apologies for pronunciation, about events this month remembering Japanese-American internment and the history of Vanport. And 11:30, Art Focus is off this week. Instead, we present Counterspin with a look at the limits of police reform and a conversation with Alex Vitale, the author of The End of Policing. All this and more coming up today on KBOO, your listener-supported radio station. All right, we're talking about yesterday's May Day March. Opinions are running high.
I think so. And perhaps I'm at crosswise with a lot of people.
That may be.
Okay, I can handle it.
That's right. David writes to the Twitter account, that's HonestAbe72, to say, huge difference between rage leading to civil disobedience that affects change and rage that inspires destruction, which doesn't. I would have to agree with that. Let's go back to the phones. Cody, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Abe, who made it to the to everything yesterday for the report. We really appreciate it.
Well, I was Joe. Joe was the one who was there.
It's my fault, man, not his. But thank you.
Yes, yes. You I always do that. And yeah, thanks for the report. I have questions, and there is a comment about this black box or whoever they call themselves.
Black box. Black block. B L O C K. Okay. Or K or C.
Okay.
Yeah.
Black blocks.
Yeah.
I like to know what's their politics. There are some people who said that they had this attitude about it's the end and they have to hurry up and do something. Why do they have to put other people's safety at risk doing that if they feel that Agreed. Strongly about it?
Agreed.
Well, I think we both agree. I think if they want to march, hey, and they want to fight the police, hey, I'm not go for it, but don't mingle it with families and other people who have other values. It's exploitive and unreasonable.
Yeah, it is. And one more question, and I'll let you take it over from here. The timeline of events, because there was one caller who was saying you weren't talking about the positivity there. And I think in today's political climate, being a Pollyanna isn't very smart. So, I mean, we have to be balanced, which is why a timeline is so important. I mean, perhaps the pyramid was out and it was time for everybody to go. But if that many people were there, weren't they patronizing all the stores down there? So, yeah, take it over and I'll take your answers off the air.
Okay, no, I think you're making several interesting points. I think it's important to understand that this march should happen every year, that it is more than ritual, that it is a really valid political argument going back historically to the original May Day in Chicago, a labor struggle. I think it is really important to understand that there will be differences of opinion among those marching, and there's nothing wrong with that. Where it becomes a violation is when it's all set up for violence. When the police announced ahead of time, and they did this, that they would arrest anybody who behaved badly and shut the march down if anything bad happened. That was their promise, and they carried it out. And there's this other group who are silent, but who are clearly intent upon doing exactly that. What's the goal? What's the objective? What is accomplished? Aside from some kids getting themselves busted, I don't see any accomplishment. I mean, the insurance companies will cover all the damage. I mean, it's just silly. And it can only lead to further violence. What we're also seeing in the nation, and this is very scary, is a rise of youth who are absolutely 180 degrees from where I am or where you probably are, most of you in the audience, who would want to create a fascist environment. And that is really being fed into by this kind of behavior. The reason for nonviolence is twofold. It's morally better, and the other reason is it's tactically better.
Yeah, it's really the only way to get your message out there and to build a movement. If you want people to know what you're trying to say and what you're trying to do,
you got to say it
and you got to do it. But if what you're doing is behaving violently and mixing it up with the police, that's all anyone is going to talk about.
Well, especially when you have an incredibly stupid, I can't believe how stupid the local TV news reporting is, but and there's some of them are friends and colleagues, I have to say. They're just being stupid.
And a quick note on permitting. It is my opinion that the notion that marchers need a permit from the city in order to march is nonsense.
I agree.
We have a permit. We're all born with a permit. It's called the First Amendment. And it applies from sea to shining sea.
I absolutely agree with you.
All right. Pamela writes to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe, to say, let's talk about, quote, the cops set this up, end quote, because I was present at a Portland Assembly meeting last week at the SEIU Hall, and at the end of the meeting, someone mentioned the May Day March, and the reply was to be ready to mix it up with the cops, and this was accompanied by a snigger. At that point, I knew I would not be attending. And the cops did not revoke the permit until the stupids started breaking stuff, and it wasn't just on the 6 o'clock news either.
Well, she makes some good points. I mean, I was right there. I saw the first thing thrown, I think. I can't say for sure. It's a long march. But it looked like that. And it was definitely tossed out in the midst of a black bloc group. And I was not surprised. I too, expected this kind of trouble. I was not surprised that the police quickly shut the thing down because they wanting to do that. They said they wanted. They telegraphed it. And the present mayor is all for that. He's been very annoyed at the disruptions that have happened at the city council. So it's all playing into a theater of violence and intolerance and insanity and moving away from democratic discourse.
Theater of the dumb.
Theater of the stupid, let's say.
Theater of the stupid. All right, George, you're up next. Good morning.
Hi, I just wanted to ask you I think you've been really coming close to saying this, but it sure looks like there's some kind of an informal or maybe, well, spoken arrangement between some of the Black Bloc and some of the police. Maybe they're...
I don't think so, man. I really don't. I think that if it's a conspiracy, it's a conspiracy of mindset, but not of organization.
Okay, but it sure looks like there's something going on there that if the police really found the Black Bloc behavior very offensive, why don't they just go after them and leave the kids and the women and the rest of everybody alone?
Well, that's a good question. I do think that this is a situation that just calls for, and I mean this in a negative sense, agent provocateur, creating an impossible situation for those who want to make a nonviolent protest.
Well, it sounds right to say that, and I think you're right, and I just like to know what in the heck the police... Why don't they just go after those people and leave the rest of
them? Well, you know why. You know who the police inevitably have to be. They are the representatives of the ruling class. And it's not because they want to be or don't want to be. It's because the structure of the system creates that role. It's always been the case. They have always been in various situations strike breakers, and I'm oversimplifying here. In most situations, they have been opposed to or tolerated barely efforts to organize. I remember doing the... along with others, doing in 1960, the first peace march, Ban the Bomb March, with the help of churches. And I remember the police, when I went to interview with them, which they asked for, to give us a permit to be in the street, having the cops say, oh, you're going to be used by the Reds. And I can remember in my wise-ass youth, I was, 19? I said, no, I think we'll use them. Well, not so simple.
Well, you know, you're right, and I think you answered my question really fairly, and that's it. It's a police represent a certain class of people. Thank you so much, though.
Well, and I want to be clear. It's not their intention. It's not their intellectual orientation necessarily.
Okay.
But it's a structural phenomenon.
Yeah, I think you're right on it. Yeah, okay. Well, thanks. You made a good explanation, I think.
Thank you for the call. Belinda writes in to say, one, the capitalists are not going to let us vote away their power and privilege. Two, sooner or later, the struggle will get physical. Physical struggle takes practice, and that's what the Black Bloc Antifa is doing. Three, their lack of communication balances people who do nothing but talk. I disagree, Belinda, but for the sake of argument, let's say that what you just said is true. And to that, I would say, all right then, Black Bloc, do it on your own time.
Well, I think that I want to say something here. I think that that is the main point that I would make. I am not going to say how the future will go. I'm not going to predict whether there will be a violent revolution or a peaceful revolution or no revolution or, as I'm afraid, total fascism. And I think she makes some good points, but your point is also extremely valid. Why mingle yourself with families and others who don't share your view of how to behave? I think it's time for the Black Bloc people to take the responsibility for what they believe and do what they do on their own.
Yep. And show your faces.
Nah, I don't care about that.
All right.
I don't care.
All right. Francis, you're next. Good morning. Ellen, excuse me.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
I was there as well yesterday. I've been doing many of the marches over the past couple of months in Portland and have been taking my kids with me. And clearly did not understand the way in which that perhaps was anticipated to go by the Black Bloc and some others. But, you know, I kind of wanted to speak up a bit for the police here. I have to tell you, we've had some really peaceful marches happening in Portland, and the police have been a large part of that. My experience of them as we've been walking, and granted, I'm a white woman, and I think that grants me some leeway with the police and a view of the police that not everybody shares. But yesterday I was walking with a lot of Hispanic men that have that we have worked with in the building of our home over the past couple of years. We were all there supporting immigrant rights, and we actually got away from the black bloc because it was so, there was a different feeling to it. It was clear something was, they were up to something we didn't agree with, and got ahead with the families. And frankly, I was really grateful the police were there in the way that they were for us. They, you know, the bike police were beside the families as we were walking in the front of that march yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And as we crossed the foot of the Morrison Bridge, there was a very clear change. We suddenly came upon all of these police in riot gear, and they were standing and waiting. And what we didn't know, and what became obvious in the news reports after, is the violence was beginning behind us, and we weren't aware of it.
Sure.
And I have to be honest, I it was a little frightening to come upon police in riot gear, and they held up the parade there, and none of us knew what was going on at that moment. But my experience was that they stepped in behind us, behind the families and the disabled people up at the front, and in large part protected us from what was starting to happen behind. And, you know, I took my son, and the minute the police kind of came over the loudspeakers and said violence was occurring and that the permits were pulled to please get out of the streets, they came right up to the front and were saying, get to safety. And they were really trying to be very careful that they could get the children and the folks in wheelchairs out of the street and away from what was coming at us. And you know, like as we wound up running up the street to get away from the black bloc, who sort of started eating the rest of the front half of that parade. I mean, the black bloc was throwing smoke bombs like at the families. It was, and the police, in my opinion, I was grateful that they were there. I thought they did a wonderful job of protecting the people whose rights they were there to protect. People who are speaking out about things that matter to them in peaceful ways, and stopping that violent group from imposing themselves upon us, from hurting those kids and those disabled people.
So you found you appreciated the presence of the police far more than you did the presence of the black bloc.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. And frankly, you know, we were talking to police as we were walking along. We were sharing opinions. I was thanking them. They were telling us to be safe, to be mindful, and, you know, and get off the street if something bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was very collegial. And it's been that way in all the other marches, the Women's March, the Science March,
sure,
the Tax March.
The
police didn't turn, the police, in my opinion, were not the product of initiating that violence yesterday. And I know that police have in many cases initiated that. And yet, they were reacting to it.
Right.
I don't believe that would have happened had it not been started by someone else.
No, well, I think both of us agree with that.
Yes.
And I think that you're making a very, very important point. This is not just about tactics, it's about morality. And mm-hmm. I think what has happened, when you put on, and it's true of the police as well as the protesters, when you put on a disguise, when you hide your face in this culture, when that is what you're doing for reason of intent to do something questionable, we have a real problem. And it inevitably legitimizes the use of authoritarian and fascist tactics by the authorities. That's what they are about. The police individually, people I've known many of, well, most of the police I know now are retired, but people I've known many years and worked with or had conflict with or even gotten arrested by, they were human beings. They were actually people you could interact with for the most part. Once they put on that costume, once they wear their armor, they're just machines, and they're the machine of the oppressor.
Listen, thank you very much for the call. And I also want to commend you for, at the start of your call, acknowledging your privilege as a white person and suggesting that might have had some sort of bearing on your eventual interactions with the police. So good on you for that. All right. Travis writes into the Facebook page to say, I think the Black Bloc's main goal is to foment revolution and wrestle from the state its monopoly on violence. From my understanding, they see the rest of us as complicit in the ruling class's tyranny, and only their radical revolution is the way forward. What they miss is that the monopoly on violence is a monopoly and that it's total. I wholeheartedly agree that the Antifa should go do it on their own time. Go public and quit co-opting.
Well, I think that's the solution.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go back to the phones. Who's next? Francis.
Hello.
Hi, Francis.
Yeah, I thought that was me, the last caller, but I guess not.
No, that was my fault. I'm sorry.
As an old woman who's still very young at heart, I have observed the police tactics for many, many, many years, and they began long before 1999. They began, I remember, early 70s when people were peacefully protesting the Vietnam War up at Portland State. And they were told to get up on the block, so everybody crowded up on the block, and then the police went through them with, like, a wedge with their helmets on and their batons flying and hitting people.
Yeah, I was there.
Okay, yeah, I know you were. And so they've done this for a long time. And I don't understand the need when they knew who was organizing this march and they knew what it was about for them to even be present with all those riot gear. And I was down there afterwards, after in the aftermath. I was taking care of a friend who's in the hospital and I had to go through, get errands, sure, and then come back through downtown. And my granddaughter called me and was concerned that I was going to be downtown. All I saw were police driving around in on those big SUVs with a bunch of them, you know, and no people, just the police. And I saw the remnants of the little fire that somebody started. And I agree with you about those Black Rock people. I've had conversations with some at one time at another rally, and I asked why they wear the mask. And they said, well, so that we can't be identified by the police. And I said, why do you care? If you're going to be here, you know, speaking the truth, what do you care who sees you and who you are? But unless you're going to be doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing. And that's what I agree with as far as imposing yourself onto someone else's march. But the police are not stupid. And if all of us can tell that these are little provocateurs that are doing this, then they can tell too. And there's no reason for them to react the way they do. They can single those people out and move them along or arrest them or whatever they want to do. But they don't need to disrupt the entire...
Well, and I just want to get a quick word in, Fritz. I think you're right about that. I think that what this does is it plays into the authoritarian tendencies
Thank
of the
you.
System.
Exactly. And the little young people are just being provocateurs, so whatever their motivation is, that's all they're doing.
Yeah.
And
we have to cut you off because we're out of time. I appreciate your comments.
Wow, we could go on and on about
this. On and on. I would spend a week on this conversation.
Yeah, indeed. And we may pick it up next week. We'll see. Possibly, maybe not.
A lot. We'll see. Trump will do some crazy thing.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody. I appreciate, as always, your passion and your intellect. We'll see you next week.
Sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming. Stay.